This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are. Whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Yeah, I think we're going to make a deal in a run. I think I would rather... Okay, and you know, there are a lot of people think that we are going to attack
or Israel Iran. With our blessing.
Or Israel, but Israel needs us. Everybody needs us. We have the weapons, we have the strength, we're very strong. I rebuilt our military. People forget, I rebuilt our military. Now, they shouldn't have given a lot to Afghanistan, which they did. They gave a lot, there was no reason for that. But we're very strong. We have things that nobody else has. So they need us, but everyone thinks Israel, with our help or our approval, will go in and bomb the hell out of them. I would prefer that not happen. I'd much rather see a deal with Iran where we can do a deal, supervised, check it, inspect it, and then blow it up or just make sure that there's no more nuclear that we...
So Donald Trump sat down and spoke with Brett Baier, of course, the Super Bowl interview, the one that Joe Biden opted out of doing. And yesterday on Brett Baier's show, they played, I guess, the entirety of it. And I was listening to it in the car, headed home from a basketball practice, in between a basketball practice and a baseball meeting. And it's funny to listen to Donald Trump, air quotes, answer questions, because Donald Trump goes into an interview and he knows what he wants to say and he's going to say it. He's going to let you tee up questions and then he's going to say something maybe regards that, and then he's going to say and another thing, and then he's never going to finish a sentence, and then he's going to say what he wants to say. There's this part in the interview where you can tell that Trump is, you perceive him to be all over the place. And then he goes, "You know, Brett, they call me the great weaver. I love the weave. I need the weave. That's how I cover everything." And I'm like, he rambled himself into making sense of what he's doing. He's like, you know, when you're rambling, if you listen to someone who's rambling, so he thinks I'm rambling right now. Knock it off, Ryan. If you listen to somebody who's rambling about something, shush up. It's like they don't know what they're talking about. They're just filling space. Joe Biden.
I was going to say, we've seen that recently.
You're the president. You've got the podium. You have the attention. You're going to fill. How much time do I need to talk? Okay. Donald Trump, there's never enough time.
No, it goes very long.
Yes.
He's always he's always on topic. He's never on question.
Well, he said this yesterday in this comment where he made, he's like, "I'm the great weaver, Brett. You know, I'm the great weaver." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" Because I'm driving in my car. I'm like trying to avoid traffic and, you know, cars parked on the side of the road. I've got my mind in a few different places, kids in the car. And he's like, "I'm the great weaver." And he goes, "I'm going to bring it back to you. Just watch this." And so you know that he's in a command of what he's doing. But it's not on anybody's terms but his own. It's funny to me how sometimes, to the untrained ear, it could sound the same as the last guy. But it's actually the other end of the spectrum, where they're so far on the opposite side of the spectrum, they almost touch, but they don't. He's sitting right now in the White House, and he's with the Jordan leader,
yeah,
I think.
King Abdullah of Jordan.
Jordan. And there's a lot of discussion about, of course, Gaza, correct? And he said it, Carolyn Leavitt has said it. He's like, they're like, it's a disaster area. There is no livable area for Gaza. It's been completely leveled. You can't live under these circumstances and be safe and secure. This is not a prosperous place to go. So he said, I guess maybe it was last week, he's like, America's gonna take Gaza and handle Gaza. And I was like, what? This is the great day to have Jim Carafano on the show. At 1 o'clock, 1:05, I'm going to say, so is this a smart move? And my guess, my prediction, if you were listening, probably at about 1:08, he's going to say, it's a brilliant move. That's my guess. It's not a pre-recorded interview. He might say it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But we will wait and see. A lot of questions right now for the president and the king from Jordan. They're in the White House. Let's just listen to a little bit. We're not going to listen to the whole thing. Let's listen to a little bit of the discussion that was there in front of the press from inside the Oval Office.
People in the region, especially Jordan, are worried about the annexation of the West Bank. Will you give His Majesty the King guarantee that you won't allow Israel to annex the West Bank? And how are you going to...
I think that's going to work out very well. That's not really what we're talking about today. I think that's something that's going to work out automatically, and it's in good shape, and we discuss it, and other people have discussed it with us and with me. That's going to work out. West Bank is going to work out very well.
Mr. President, why should the king take in the Palestinian people? He's made clear he doesn't want to.
Well, I don't know, but he may have just something to say, because we discussed just briefly. I think maybe you want to say it now, or...
Well, Mr. President, I think we have to keep in mind that there is a plan from Egypt and the Arab countries. We're being invited by Mohammed bin Salman to discussions in Riyadh. I think the point is how do we make this work in a way that is good for everybody?
Right.
Obviously, we have to look at the best interests of the United States, of the people in the region, especially to my people of Jordan. And we're going to have some interesting discussions today. I think one of the things that we can do right away is take 2,000 children that are either cancer children or in very ill state to Jordan as quickly as possible, and then wait for, I think, the Egyptians to present their plan on how we can work with the president to work on the Gaza challenges.
So you're...
I want to tell you... Excuse me, wait, just please. I didn't know that, what you just said, 2,000 children with cancer or other problems. And that's really a beautiful gesture. That's really good, and we appreciate it. And we'll be working on the rest with Egypt. I think you're going to see some great progress. I think with Jordan, you're going to see some great progress. Three of us, and we'll have some others helping, and we're going to have some others at a very high level helping, and the whole thing will come. It's not a complex thing to do. And with the United States being in control of that piece of land, a fairly large piece of land, you're going to have stability in the Middle East for the first time. And the Palestinians, or the people that live now in Gaza, will be living beautifully in another location. They're going to be living safely. They're not going to be killed, murdered, and having to leave every 10 years. Because I've been watching this for so many years. It's nothing but trouble. Everyone's being killed. They're being robbed. It's like living in hell. And they're going to end up having a great home, great families that don't have to get mugged and killed and beaten up and harassed by Hamas and everybody else. And I know we'll be able to work something. And what you just said about the 2,000 is fantastic. It's so beautiful. It's music to my ears. But we're going to be able to work something. And I know we'll be able to work something also with I believe, not 100%, but 99%, we're going to work out something with Egypt.
But Mr. President, during your election campaign,
Mr. President, how is the U.S. going to own Gaza? Your White House has made clear taxpayer dollars won't be used for this. So what money are you going to use to buy Gaza?
We're not going to buy anything. We're going to have it, and we're going to keep it, and we're going to make sure that there's going to be peace, and there's not going to be any problem, and nobody's going to question it. and we're going to run it very properly, and eventually we'll have economic development at a very large scale, maybe the largest scale on that site. And we'll have lots of good things built there, including hotels and office buildings and housing and other things. And we'll make that site into what it should be. And the people from Gaza who wouldn't be able to be there for years, because you're talking about just to get it and prepare it and to take care of all of the problems that currently it has, as you know, tunnels, and people are in those tunnels. And you have some good people and some bad people, and you may have hostages right now. You know, you have the hostages possibly there. They don't know where they are. And, you know, I have a Saturday deadline, and I don't think they're going to make the deadline personally. I think they want to play tough guy, but we'll see how tough they are. But it's going to be a wonderful thing. It's going to be wonderful for the Middle East. I think it'll turn the Middle East. I think you're going to have peace in the Middle East. You're going to eventually have peace in the Middle East.
Couldn't this deadline risk undermining the talks that you're having with the king today, and risk the kind of wider peace that you're trying to...
Because we're not talking about a big situation. We're talking about something that can go very quickly. We're talking about it's going to go quickly. It's not going to take a long time, okay? That's not going to take a long time. You know bullies? You know what a bully is, right? You know the bully, I found it throughout my life, a bully is the weakest person. And they're bullies. Hamas is bullies. The weakest people are bullies. You know that, right? All right, go ahead.
Mr. President, you were saying that Palestinians will live somewhere else safe. Where exactly do you want them to live?
Well, it's not where I want them to live. It's going to be where we ultimately choose as a group. And I believe we'll have a parcel of land in Jordan. I believe we'll have a parcel of land in Egypt. We may have someplace else. But I think when we finish our talks, we'll have a place where they're going to live very happily and very safely. And, you know, don't forget, they only want to be on the Gaza Strip because they don't know anything else. They never had an alternative. And they don't want to be on the Gaza Strip, but they have no choice. They have to be. And they're being killed there at levels that nobody's ever seen. No place in the world is like as dangerous as the Gaza Strip. They don't want to be there. They have no alternative. When they have an alternative, not one person will want to stay where they are.
So President Trump speaking from the White House. He's got the King of Jordan sitting at his right in the Oval Office and making a pretty bold statement. I mean, he's not waffling at all on this concept of moving people out of Gaza so that they can rebuild Gaza. I have a lot of questions about this. And like I said, we will speak with Jim Carafano, our friend at 105 is usually when we start 105. I think I said about 108. I'm going to ask him that question. So make sure you are here to get to the bottom of what Jim Carafano thinks about the idea of America's presence there in the Gaza Strip. There's so much going on and there's so much to talk about every single day. But yesterday was a big one for a lot of people in America, something we could really all get behind. And watching Donald Trump sign this executive
Max, this
order.
This is an executive order relating to the use of paper straws. As you've consistently identified, nobody really likes paper straws.
Number one trending. Can you believe it? A paper straw was number one trending for 3 days or something.
The environmental impact of plastic straws versus paper straws is entirely unclear. This has cost both the government and private industry an absolute ton of money and left consumers all over the country wildly dissatisfied with their straws. So we're asking aspects of the federal government, federal departments and agencies to look at their existing procurement processes, and we're asking your domestic policy council to look holistically at this issue to address it, and it really is something that affects ordinary Americans in their everyday lives.
We're going back to plastic straws. These things don't work. I've had them many times, and on occasion they break, they explode. If something's hot, they don't last very long, like a matter of minutes, sometimes a matter of seconds. It's a ridiculous situation. So we're going back to plastic straws. I think it's okay. And I don't think that plastic's going to affect a shark very much as they're munching their way through the ocean. Okay.
Munching. It makes sharks sound so cash. Nom, 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 nom. Oh, we got to stop. There's a plastic straw.
I didn't know how many good quotes were going to come out of it. I started writing them down at the beginning of it.
The video, if you're watching us on YouTube, we play the video along with this. But Howard Lutnick, who is a high-profile dude in this administration, can hardly contain his belly laughter behind Donald Trump's left shoulder. And, of course, our friend Will Scharf he's like, it's part of this executive order. Nobody likes paper straws. I got two questions. First of all, totally hate paper straws. As you guys know, when I go to Disney World with my family, I bring my own plastic straws. And when you go places, we hand out the plastic straws. And we leave them behind because we just bring so many of them. So I don't understand what he means by paper straws exploding. Mm. I do understand them disintegrating into the beverage that you're trying to drink. But I'm curious of the exploding paper straw. We should double executive order those out of the business.
Absolutely.
And the second question I have is, where are you putting a straw in a hot drink?
I don't drink a lot of hot drinks, so I'm not the expert on this, but I don't...
He's like, if you put them in a hot drink, it's terrible. And I'm like, that's because you don't put straws in hot drinks, sir. No?
I don't know. Now that I'm thinking about it,
I guess
you don't.
Is there a hot drink that you put a straw in?
No.
But if you were going to put one in, you certainly wouldn't want to put a paper straw in it. So he's not wrong. I just have other questions.
The quote that I pulled. Now, Will Scharf's a funny guy. We've talked to him.
Oh, we knew that already.
He's got a great sense of humor, but he's a really good straight man. So when he says the phrase, the American people are wildly dissatisfied with their straws, I'm like, that's really funny. But yeah. He's not breaking.
And in America,
he's not winking at you.
You can say, I demand a better straw. You people on the YouTube live chat saying you put straws in your coffee.
You do?
No, you don't.
Those little stirry straws or ones you drink through?
I don't even think you could have a stirry straw that's paper.
Oh, no.
But I put straws in my iced coffee, but not my hot coffee. We've got to go because Robert C. Cahaley is going to join us next. Ryan's man crush, Robert C. Cahaley. He's the chief pollster and founder of the Trafalgar Group. And he's going to talk to us about Donald Trump's popularity, how people are feeling about Doge. They took a little bit of a break, as you probably would post-election, especially when you pretty much nailed it on the polling. But Robert C. Cahaley is back. He's back with new polls, and he's back on the Annie Fry Show in just a minute.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
We are not going to sit around while you go ahead and desecrate our Constitution, or you look at the laws that have been passed into law and say, never mind, we'll just ignore that. Instead, we are going to be in your face, we are going to be on your and we are going to make sure, you understand what democracy looks like. This ain't it.
And that's my pep talk to Ryan Wiggins before every show.
Yeah, I come in usually like, let's tear down democracy today.
I actually recorded that through the door.
Yeah, it was real. I was out of control. No, that's Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, full meltdown mode, because she is out there fighting for what the people want. The Democrats who say, down with Trump, down with Doge, it's incredibly unpopular, and Jasmine Crockett is out there leading the charge for those folks. I wonder if she has a majority of opinion, or if she just thinks maybe if I yell really loud, it'll be effective. Let's get to our guest. Excited to have back on the show, Robert C. Cahaley. He's the chief pollster and founder of the Trafalgar Group. You can find him on X at Robert Cahaley. Thanks for being here again with us, Robert. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, it's always to speak to your audience and get a nice wake-up call in the afternoon with piece of tape like that.
Yeah, it'll wake you up for a while. Congresswoman Crockett, she believes she's got the power of the people behind her. She's turned up the volume on it, and she thinks that Doge and Donald Trump are incredibly unpopular, and she's going to make sure people know about it. Now, you're back in business after taking a little bit of a break on polling. And where was your first endeavor? What did you want to poll out the gate here and measure the sentiment of the American people?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in taking off between Thanksgiving and the Super Bowl.
That's a good idea.
That's my holiday.
You work overtime last year, I'm sure. You're just constantly working, so you get a little bit of a break. So upon reentering into the work day, what have you noticed about the American sentiment post-election?
Yeah, you know, it really is amazing. I've been watching some of my other people that I have confidence in, some of the polling they're putting out there, and I'm sure you saw the exceptional results we had this year. We now hold the unique position of the lowest average error rate for the last three presidential cycles. So
it's amazing.
That's I'm really proud of that. But no, the problem that she doesn't understand is she is relying on the same faux polling that told her Kamala was going to win to tell her that Doge is unpopular. And this is a fatal mistake that a lot of the mainstream media is making, even some of the conservative media. It is amazing that they keep quoting this poll that come from national organizations and companies and universities and media outlets who continue to get the election wrong. And who said Trump was going to lose to Hillary, Trump was going to get wiped out by Biden, and Trump was going to lose, albeit in a close one, to Kamala this time. And so these guys' error rate is through the, you know, just through the roof. I mean, we're talking 4% and 5% on these swing states, and it's ridiculous. But if nobody calls them out, it is what fuels this fire. That's what everybody's going to understand. These BS polls fuel this fire. And if you want to stop it, you've got to quit recognizing people who fail at elections to tell you have a presidential approval and the approval of if anything he's doing should be rated.
You know, it's very interesting when you put it that way. It's like what they're doing is more of a strategy than a science. And if that's leading into an election, it could have powerful sway potentially on the election. I mean, I think you commented on that one pollster out of Iowa who just went, I think the last time we had you on, you were talking about that. And just the outrageous willfulness of some of these pollsters to use their platform.
She was way over the line.
Yeah.
But there are so many that do it subtly. And that's the problem. People don't understand. And, you know, obviously, I'm a pollster. You know, I'm a hammer. Everything I see looks like a nail. I got it. But polling does shape a lot of the discussion. And when you start to realize that polling can be the source of so much of the disinformation and misinformation from the left, then you have to get at the heart of it. And people have to start asking accountability. They have to start saying to these media outlets, no, I don't want to hear what ABC says. No, I don't want to hear what CBS says. No, I don't hear what CNN says. I don't want to hear what these groups say about the approval rating and Doge and Elon Musk because they failed at elections.
So when you're looking at these people who are being deceitful in their polling, is there a way to kind of cook the books so that you can poll so that you kind of ends justify the means? You're actually going through the science of polling, so to speak, but you know that this avenue is going to get you this outcome? Or are they outright lying?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's not as much lying as, like, for example, when you're looking at an election. All right, you're looking at likely voters. Everybody's definition of likely voters is different. Obviously, ours is better. But when you're trying to say, all right, we think there'll be this youth turnout and the number will be this. We think there'll be this African-American turnout and the number will be this. We think there'll be this turnout from municipalities and it will be this. You can't adjust a turnout to get you the result you want. That's not the way to do it.
Right.
You know, you can lay cloth all over a guy and start stitching and cutting. It's much easier to measure and make a suit. But you can do it backward. And the fact is, that's what a lot of them do. They are seeking to affect the electorate, not reflect the electorate. And we know they're doing it during an election cycle. And there's a couple ways you know they're doing it. One, they stop polling 2 or 3 weeks out because they don't want to be rated. Okay, and that's a big, you know, all of a sudden these polls disappear and you can't find one anywhere.
And that's intentional.
And so I tip my hat to everybody who's out there. And you see them, they disappear. They're just like, what happened to them? Oh, my gosh. And the other way that you know is they never poll elections anywhere near them. It's not a matter of stopping polling. They'll throw some stuff out there early, and then they'll do approval ratings and stuff all the time. The beauty of doing a president's approval rating based on registered voters is nobody is going to hold you to account. And if all of the mainstream media and all of the universities are in the same boat, they look more real because their numbers look the same, even though they're all wrong together.
We're speaking with Robert C. Cahaly, the chief pollster and founder of the Trafalgar Group. I'm looking right now at your website, thetrafalgargroup.org, and you've got two questions posted on here. One is, what is your opinion of the job performance of President Donald Trump so far, with a 54% approval rating, a 45% disapproval? And the second question being, what is your opinion of Elon Musk as it relates to his efforts on behalf of President Trump's Doge? And you have a 49% approval, 44% disapproval, 7% still undecided. Robert, when you're looking at these numbers, I know that there's an underreported factor that you would discuss before the election of people who are willing to come out and say, yeah, I support Trump. First question is, does that Trump factor still seem to be in effect when you're polling, or are people more willing to talk about it? And secondly, a 54% approval rating from Donald Trump. Some people might say that's pretty close to the middle there, but for him, that seems pretty monumental.
Yeah, but yeah, absolutely. If you look at all the media has been talking forever that this guy will never get a majority, never get a majority, never get a majority. Well, guess what? He's got a majority. And the fact is, it's extremely significant. I think the guy on CNN, which is actually the analyst on CNN, is pretty good. I don't think much of the polling department, but the analyst who goes over them, he was on there just talking about how crazy it is that Trump has already had doubled the number of days he's been above 50 versus his entire first term. Now, what you need to understand is, and that's averaging mainstream media. So it's much more popular. And if you doubt that, just look. If you doubt it for 1 second, look at the video between Taylor Swift and Trump and the boos and cheers. This country is with him. And your question before about, are they coming out, you know, are people more likely to say, you know, now, absolutely. I mean, it has been, people are not hesitant at all right now. They are, I mean, Trump supporters are out of the closet and they're burning their closets down. They're done.
That's a pretty big
swing. They're done, hide. A lot of them were kind of done. And, you know, it's really funny to see Tyrus on Gutfeld was talking about how all those guys were kind of looking at him funny, and then he was at the Super Bowl and how they were all treating him with such respect. He's like, because he got out there and he was doing it early. But, I mean, that's the point. There's a lot of people who took these early stands, and it is significant. And it just the fact that, I think the other day I saw that Carville and some of those guys were going, man, the first thing you guys ought not go after is USAID. Foreign aid is not the hill to die on. And it's like they can't quit picking the bad fight. It's like they want to die on the hills of foreign aid, open borders, and Italy, and transgender for children. I mean, it's like who is sabotaging them for so long? It's like somebody was sabotaging the other. Like, why do they keep picking these issues?
Yeah.
Robert, this is Ryan Wiggins. First of all, I love your work and I cite it often. So thanks for being on the Andy Frye Show. But I also want to ask you, based on what you're seeing from the most accurate pollsters in 2024, is Trump's approval actually higher than his national popular vote total right now?
No question.
Wow.
Trump has picked out people. There's no question, because his national total popular vote was just under 50. And if you look at all the, I mean, if you literally just isolate the polling firms that had an error rate that was under 3, they're all showing Trump well above 50.
And you gotta think that has a lot to do with the fact that he campaigned on promises that he's doing at a rapid pace now that he's the president. And, you know, your second question on your work that you've got up on your website about Elon Musk, a lot of people are saying, we didn't elect Elon Musk. He's, you know, unofficial person, unofficial president. But it wasn't a secret that Donald Trump was going to do this. And according to your results, at least the majority of people still do support the Doge efforts and what Elon Musk has done so far.
Well, and they're loving seeing the examples of waste. that, I mean, just, yeah, that always used to have the little list would come out every year. I mean, this is so much better. And this is all right now, and that people can see it. And so much of it is an executive where the president can make some of the cuts. Mm. I mean, even the thing with, like, getting rid of the employees. I mean, it's just action. They're seeing action. I mean, this guy is just doing stuff.
Yeah, and really, compared to the last guy, it's a very stark contrast.
And the thing is, what's so amazing is, it's like, if you were a bird, you would wish that everybody would have to hunt with a rifle and nobody gets to hunt with a shotgun. Because a shotgun has more than one projectile coming at you at one time. Well, you know what? Trump is all shotgun. He is all shotgun all
the
time.
He's the bird shot.
And so, exactly. All day, he's got 5 or 6 different bullets coming out there. And so it's just a matter of which issue you want to talk about. Because, the left is exploding on 3 things, and now Trump just said a 4th thing. I mean, I know people are down on SNL, but that skit they did with MSNBC when they kept getting off track every time he would tweet something was amazing.
Oh, it's fun to have fun again. I'll tell you that right now. Robert Sika Haley, we're going to continue to follow your work. We're appreciative of it and of your time today. Thank you for being with us here once again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Chief pollster and founder of the Trafalgar Group, Robert Sika Haley. Ryan Wiggins' man crush.
A little bit. Not. I would push back on most things. I'm not going to push back on that one.
No, that's just the truth.
Yeah, I really like his work and a couple others. Man, they did a great job this year, too.
I like his presentation.
Yeah.
If you were a bird, then you're like, okay. And then you're like, okay, I get it. That makes sense. Really tied that in a nice little bow. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Wiggins America seems like it's a personal front to me, but that's nothing new. It's just a Tuesday on the Annie Fry Show. What is it?
Mistakes you're making with your body language.
Who in this room? See, this is radio, so people, like, we could just be statuesque, talking mouths, flapping our gums every day.
Well, you can tell we are because we're very. It's to the point.
Yeah. Sometimes you're like, what do we talk about for 3 more minutes? I am an expressive person from a body language standpoint. Mm-hmm. I say a lot with my body language. I, of course, say a lot with my words. We'll discuss when we come back the body language of each of our personalities here. Ryan, I'll let you set the table on that when we come back. And then you can tell us why we're wrong.
Mm-hmm. I will.
Wiggins America next.
I'll be Wiggins. Oh, Wiggins. Body language mistakes you didn't know you were even making.
How much do you think, like, let's give me the balance, Ryan, on how much of your communication comes from your words and your mouth, and how much of your communication comes from your body language?
From 1 to 100, I'd say...
Just percentages, dude.
Okay, percentage still, 1 to 100.
That's how they work. Let's try something different. Let's percentages based on 100.
I'll say 90% of what I do comes from body language.
Conservative. What about Ethan? You're
going to say that no matter what I said.
You do Ethan's percentages.
80.
Ethan has a little more on the face sometimes. If he's got something brewing in his brain, you might see it on his face before you hear it from him.
You can read it. You can read it. But he doesn't read negative much, which is great.
Oh, I think he can tell.
Except when he's sick. No.
Yeah, and you've tried everything.
Uh-huh. That's more hoodie language
than
anything.
More like, I look like dumb Patrick Starr if I don't have anything. And then if something comes about, I'm like, I got something here, guys.
Oh, Ethan wants to talk. Everybody step aside.
Here, boy.
I had to Google Patrick Starr. Is that from SpongeBob?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. This is how we feel when you're like, I've never heard of Fast and the Furious.
Of what?
Shush.
Yeah.
Gone
in 60 seconds. That's what it was. Brad's? 100%. I can tell right when I walk in if Brad's in a good mood or not.
You're saying his body language is he's 100% body language?
Yeah, never speaks.
Okay. He's always pushing buttons.
No, but I can always tell if Brad is having a rough time or if he's sick or something. You can just tell.
He wears it?
Yeah, he wears it. You're like 50-50. because you could be in a great mood, and I'm like, I don't know.
She's scary.
I can't quite tell.
She might be scary
today. Yeah. And so usually 50-50? I walk in, try to crack a joke and see if you laugh. I'm like, ah, she laughed. Okay, a little bit. A little
bit. Good. Now I have a new piece of information on you.
No, but I don't do it. I don't do it in a way in which you'll pick it up.
You're going to do it tomorrow. She's going to take a look at you.
Yeah, okay. Andy's going to take that piece of information and make adjustments on her and you.
Uh-huh. Which means, and I'm up to the challenge. It means I have to go even higher. I gotta really make her laugh because now she's going to know she can't just give me a courtesy.
Just 2 days ago. I did a segment about how I can make men feel any particular way, and you were like, I disagree with that. And by the end of the segment, I made you feel bad for saying something that was mean to me, but joking mean to me, but I was joking with you that it made me feel bad, mm-hmm. and you did feel bad for a minute.
Yeah, I felt bad. I still do.
You called me a zero.
I didn't. That's the way you framed it.
No, that's what you said. We could play the tape.
No, you said, how is my hair? And I said, zero. But I was really trashing myself for being a bad hairstylist.
Yeah, that's exactly how that went.
And the way that you took it was, I look terrible.
And then you said that you still feel bad about it because you're trying to make me feel bad for making you feel bad, and I don't.
Yeah. But I mean, look, see, funny though. I got her. I got, see? It worked. Man.
How?
Because you laughed.
I think How do you know
it's not a courtesy laugh, that she's just trying to play the game now?
I can tell. I can tell when we're in the middle of a segment. It's like,
Ryan knows how to read women. What are you talking about?
Yeah. If I'm good at one thing,
so is that,
reading women
listen to Brad's
once
laugh.
I
That's
turn
what
40.
You
he can read it. Not well, or in the same language. Yeah.
He's like that. Is a woman.
It's the same way my 7-year-old reads Crime and Punishment. Not well.
She feels.
But he could probably make out most of the words.
All right, give us the mistakes we're making.
Number one.
And tell us first if you're making these mistakes.
Shrinking your body. Standing with rounded shoulders or contracting your chest, keeping your elbows tucked in, making yourself seem small.
Man,
I don't do this.
When I was big, Brad, I did a lot of that.
Did you?
Yeah, but I mean, I was like, part of it was like not
How
wanting to
How much weight have you lost?
100 pounds.
Not everybody knows that.
Okay. Before I lost that 100 pounds, I would like walk around and I felt like always I was pulling myself in. Part of it was a courtesy to other people not to keep bumping into them, but the other part of it...
Don't laugh at him.
The other part of it was...
So much space in the earth.
Don't laugh.
Physically, like...
He's telling his soul.
The other part of it was, is I was like not very self-confident, and I was like, okay, maybe if I make myself smaller, people won't see me, which was ridiculous because I was gigantic. But
go on, Ryan. You want to laugh at that too? Is that funny?
Kind of.
Oh, I'm just imagining if you would have said, like, how much weight have you lost? He's like, 6 pounds.
Six.
I was huge.
Gigantic.
That's called PMS. Do you make yourself smaller?
No. I make myself bigger. I take the lion approach.
Oatmeal
really?
Cream pies.
Yeah. Like, if you ever see a lion, you're supposed to go, ah, I'm
peacocking. That's what you do.
Yeah, I'm peacocking. Exactly.
Like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, peacocking and HBO maxing at the same time sometimes.
I hate you.
What a nerd.
So the next one is shifting your weight from foot to foot.
Yeah, being shifty.
I actually do this. I don't know if I do it in conversation, but in here, we're standing for so long that
that's
I'll just
kind of... That's not the same.
You mean like you're ice skating? Like that kind of shifting?
I don't think that it's like ice skating. I mean, that would look a little funny.
You're supposed to stand strong and confident, own your space. The way that I would present myself if I'm working somewhere versus the way that I present myself if I'm at like a... As you guys know, I'm an introvert. So if I'm in a... If I'm in a gym somewhere at a game or something, I don't want to be in the middle of everybody. I'm not finger guns guy. I'd probably be at the back. That's fine. I don't mind people coming to talk to me, but I don't assume that anybody wants to be around me.
And Ryan is the exact opposite.
Yeah, I just assume everybody wants to be around me.
So I will kind of like shrink down and make myself small around other people. I'm confident in my solitude.
Mm-hmm.
The shifty thing, when you watch people, well, man, I call my son out on this all the time, because like when he's nervous, if maybe a grade went bad or something happened and he starts getting so shifty, and I'm like, you're moving your fingers.
Uh-oh.
And he's like, dang it, I'm screwed.
So he has a tell.
Oh, big time.
And he knows he has to tell
My
you.
Oldest daughter, stone cold, just like her mom.
That doesn't surprise
it
me.
It is like this. I'm like, Jared, get in here. Someone's going to die.
Oh, sheesh.
All right. This one I have figured out that I think I do pretty regularly, and that is looking up and to the left when you are recalling a story or an event that's a common body language tell that you might be lying.
I'm not going to tell
making
you who
does suspicious
that too.
Or dishonest looking. I, you know when I do this the most?
When you're
is
lying?
When you go, Ryan, tell us about the first time you got into a bar fight. And I'm like,
I would never
Well, Annie. And I just start making something up. It was back in 1994.
Those are all true stories.
Yes, they are. Now that you mention it, those are all true stories. You can't see me unless you're watching me.
The clock's over there, bud.
I don't know which one's left. I just look up and all over the place.
I just want the listeners right now to understand that I've never asked Ryan a question about something that happened in his life that he didn't have an answer to. I'm just kind of waiting for the time.
Most of it is false or based on
Forrest
lies.
Gump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you ever done that? Oh, yeah. Certainly. I was there at the moon landing. 100% of the time. Okay, I guess nobody else does that one. I'm just, of course, sort of putting my soul out there, but everybody's laughing. I don't like that.
You were laughing at Brad.
I don't remember this.
I don't feel sorry for you.
Crossing your arms.
I wish somebody right now was crossing their arms.
You do this a little bit, don't you?
If I'm cold. Not when I'm... What, does that indicate lying or being uncomfortable or insecure?
It says, regardless of how comfortable you may be with your arms crossed,
you know
it's almost always perceived as a closed sign of resistance.
The arms, the hands on the hips, you know what they call these?
Superhero pose.
Bee wings.
Oh. Oh, okay.
I usually cross my arms when I'm getting really upset with somebody, and I'm like, let me just put my hands here so
that's
I don't
what,
use
is
them.
That kind of what you're talking about? The fact that you would like be showing...
It signals that you're reserved, that you don't want to be approached, and if you're in a conversation, it signals, I don't want to be in this conversation.
Okay.
Last one. Using upspeak. Yeah, Annie, you do this all the time.
Not.
Oh my gosh.
Do not?
I like his body language.
Yes,
upspeak.
You do.
I do not.
You do.
I can go higher.
We all know people who end every sentence going up, although not like the way we're doing it. I don't know exactly what we're doing.
No, upspeak is a terrible thing. And so is vocal fry.
Yeah. It signifies that you don't really know what you're saying, and so you're trying to phrase everything.
You're trying to get people to affirm what you're saying.
It's almost like making your statements into questions so that
so
people
that you
will
get
respond
head
to
nods.
Them. Yes.
Yeah, upspeak or right?
Yep.
Don't say right at the end of your sentence. If you said something that is right, just say it, and then it's done.
Yep.
And it's right without having to have everybody in the room affirm that you were right.
Right?
Right?
The last one is if you're frustrated with something, going...
That's my favorite one.
That's the last one on this list from Reader's Digest.
How did it spell that?
It's D-R-B-L-B-L-B-L-B-L-B-L-B-L.
Reader's Digest. The one day that I don't ask you to cite your source, it's a legit source.
I outed it. Yeah.
Well, I think you did a good job. Jim Carafano next.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment.
Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.